Welcome to a very special edition of Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. Today, we had the pleasure of speaking with Michael Wong, MD, a professor in the Department of Lymphoma and Myeloma in the Division of Cancer Medicine at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, to discuss the FDA approval of brexucabtagene autoleucel in relapsed refractory mantle cell lymphoma. On July 24, 2020, the FDA approved the CAR T-cell therapy brexucabtagene autoleucel for the treatment of patients with relapsed refractory mantle cell lymphoma. Data from the Phase 2 ZUMA-2 trial served as the basis for the regulatory decision. The results showed that a single infusion of the CD19-directed CAR T-cell therapy product elicited an 87% objective response rate as assessed by an independent radiologic review committee and a complete response rate of 62% in patients with heavily pretreated relapsed refractory MCL. The FDA approval of brexucabtagene autoleucel marks a significant milestone for the field of MCL, according to Wong. In the trial, patients were allowed to receive bridging therapy for progressive disease at the investigator's discretion. This could include ibrutinib, acalabrutinib, or dexamethasone, but not chemotherapy. Beginning 5 days prior to T-cell infusion, patients received 3 consecutive days of conditioning chemotherapy with fludarabine at 30 mg per meter squared plus cyclophosphamide at 500 mg per meter squared. Brexucabtagene autoleucel was administered as a single infusion at 2 times 10 to the 6th cells. Patients enrolled on the trial had a median age of 65 years. The majority of patients had stage 4 disease, and 56% had intermediate or high-risk disease. The Ki-67 proliferation index was at least 50% in 69% of patients, and 17% had TP53 mutations. Bone marrow involvement was found in 54% of patients, and 56% had extranodal disease. The most common morphologies were classical, blastoid, and pleomorphic. The median number of prior therapies was 3. However, the majority of patients had received at least 3 treatments. Almost all patients had received prior anthracycline or bendamustine, and 100% of patients had received a prior anti-CD20 antibody. BTK inhibitors had been given to 100% of patients prior to study entry. Moreover, 37% of patients received bridging therapy, most commonly with ibrutinib. Of those who received bridging therapy, most had higher disease burden prior to infusion of the CAR T-cells compared with baseline. In the primary efficacy analysis, which was presented during the 2019 ASH annual meeting, the median progression-free survival had not been reached. The 12-month PFS rate was 61%. The median overall survival had also not been reached, with a 12-month OS rate of 83%. Regarding safety, the most common all-grade treatment-emergent adverse events were pyrexia, neutropenia, thrombocytopenia, anemia, and hypotension. Grade 4 treatment-emergent adverse events included neutropenia, thrombocytopenia, hypoxia, and hypotension. 2 grade 5 adverse effects were reported. The first was pneumonia related to the conditioning therapy, and the second was staphylococcal bacteremia due to post-conditioning therapy and the CAR T-cell infusion. All-grade cytokine release syndrome and neurotoxicity occurred in 91% and 63% of patients, respectively. CRS was well managed with tocilizumab or corticosteroids. The median time to onset was 2 days, and the median duration was 11 days. Neurotoxicity was managed with tocilizumab and corticosteroids, and the median time to onset was 7 days with a median duration of 12 days. Grade 3 or greater CRS and neurologic events occurred in 18% and 37% of patients, respectively. In our exclusive interview, Wong discussed the FDA approval of brexucabtagene autoleucel in MCL and ongoing research aimed at optimizing the safety and persistence of the product. What does the approval bring to patients with MCL? How do you see it impacting the paradigm?
First of all, on behalf of my colleagues, I wanted to congratulate all the patients for having access to this great therapy. And now that the FDA has approved it, it will change the way we treat relapsed mantle cell lymphoma forever and for the better. I'm Michael Wong. I'm the Putin Clark Endowed Professor in the Lymphoma and myeloma department at MD Anderson, and in the division of cancer medicine, and I'm the overall PI of this international clinical trial. It's really a privilege and honor to work with them, all the colleagues, numerous people, and especially the patient and their families, to conduct this trial, and actually now it's FDA approved. So as we know, the natural history of mantle cell lymphoma is a repeated pattern of remission and relapse. And so eventually, after a few relapses, the patient would have a very small chance of responding to any therapy. So in this population of a study, the patient has three prior therapies, and this CAR T-cell therapy, CD19 CAR T-cell therapy, generated from the Kite Pharma, actually was the fourth line therapy. In this fourth line therapy, generally the response rate is about 20 to 25% if you give other therapies. But with the CD19 CAR T cell therapy, we have a response rate of 87% and with a CR rate of over 50%. This is really a dramatic efficacy, unprecedented in the relapsed mantle cell lymphoma population. So this will change the therapy forever. And so my sincere congratulations to the patients.
Really a monumental approval, as you said. Could you expand a little bit more on the key efficacy and safety data we saw from the ZUMA-2 trial?
Yes, so in the 60 patients in the ZUMA-2, we treated more patients, but the 60 patients was in the primary analysis. The response rate is overall 87%. The CR rate is 62%. So CRS and the neurotoxicity profile are very favorable. Basically, I think the efficacy, we outweigh the risks of in this population. It is unprecedented efficacy.
Is there anything to be aware of in terms of CRS and neurotoxicity when it comes to time to onset or how it presents?
So the CRS usually occurs about 1 or 2 days, and they peak about a week. And then the neurotoxicity will take over. They peak about day 10 or day 14. But in this trial, the CRS are very well managed. The neurotoxicity also very well managed. So we are really very excited about this profile. So in the past, we are always afraid of the CRS. You know, everybody know that hypotension, high fevers, and patients have a hard time. We have so many therapies to support us, including early steroids, including tocilizumab. So the neurotoxicity, we also used early control of the CRS, and we also manage the neurotoxicity very well. One patient has severe neurotoxicity, the MRI showed frank edema. We did many therapies, including high-dose steroids, intrathecal RSC and steroids, ventriculostomy. Basically, you drill a hole into the cranium and let the pressure off, and we use the rapid ATG. Those series of measures actually saved the patient from cerebral edema. We reversed it, and the patient is now in CR and a complete remission without practicing doing his regular job without any residual neurotoxicity. So this is almost, to me, is almost like a remarkable example of CAR T-cell therapy toxicity management and prolonged efficacy.
Now, just going back to kind of the magnitude of benefit that we're seeing, it's just a single infusion and we're seeing such durable responses. Would you like to provide any additional comment on that?
So CAR T-cell therapy is still a very new therapy in the field of mantle cell lymphoma. And we are trying to figure out many, many things. In this trial, we find certain cytokines are associated with efficacy and toxicity. And we wanted to use different measures to enhance the efficacy and reduce the toxicity, and using the cytokine and chemokine profiling. But we only have 60 patients in this clinical trial. We need to study MRD. We need to study in more samples in the much better controlled setting about the cytokines relationship to CRS, to neurotoxicity, and efficacy. We also want to know that how long the CAR T cells could persist. Some of the cell patients, they have CAR T cells persistence 1 year after their therapy, but we want even longer time points. And we wanted to also study the microenvironment of the tumor. You know, the tumor and the CAR T cell therapy, they constantly change, but so does the microenvironment. So in my laboratory use the single agent RNA and together with the DNA methodologies and bulk DNA RNA sequencing, we reported at the AACR on how to decipher the evolution, not only in the tumor cells, but also the tumor microenvironment. And in the future, we also want to follow the CAR T cells, so what happened to them. So it is a new but exciting field and very promising field. CAR T cell therapy will be proven to be able to cure some fraction of patients for mantle cell lymphoma, and that's my vision. But I would like the data, the more follow the time, to prove that I could be right.
That would be a wonderful thing to say. Is there anything else that you feel we didn't touch on that you wanted to emphasize?
You know, mantle cell lymphoma is a young disease. In 1992, the word mantle cell lymphoma was used to identify this group of patients. And before 1992, we called mantle cell lymphoma different categories and different names. So since that effective pathology classification, the patients began to benefit, because this really a real biological classification, in my opinion. And we went through, initially, we all, in the first era of the mantle cell lymphotherapy, we used high-dose chemotherapies. And we use chemotherapy regular doses as well. And unfortunately, they are not able to cure the mantle cell patients, and inevitably, patient with a relapse. And then we started using targeted therapies such as ibrutinib, acalabrutinib, the new ibrutinib, and lenalidomide, and bortezomib, and venetoclax. These targeted agents are great. They're able to put some patients in long-term remission, but even they are not curable. So the majority of the patients with a relapse, and when they relapse, not only they are resistant to chemotherapy and target therapies, and they actually are very aggressive. And at this time, and the patient only after BTK, ibrutinib and the BTK acalabrutinib therapy in this clinical trial, patients' overall survival is only about 6 to 10 months. So this CAR T cell has dramatically changed their overall survival. And the overall median overall survival in this trial has not been reached after about 12 to 2 years. So we are going to report to the longer term follow-up analysis at ASH 2020. And whether it will be virtual or in person, we don't know, because we live in a new era of a COVID pandemic. But if things continue to do well with the mantle cell lymphoma, the therapies is accelerating, and it is the dream to cure mantle cell lymphoma has never been so close.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to Onc Live On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science Summits and Institutional Perspectives on Cancer webinars. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLive SOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.